My dad was a humble and devoted pastor who desired to minister to the lonely and elderly and nurture the saved in their daily walk through our broadcast. Today's message, The Soul's Quest for God, speaks of the desire and longing in our heart to know Jesus better.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And it just seems the weeks just whiz by. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 96, and every year goes faster. So it's just speeding up all the time. So we're going to use every minute. We're redeeming the time as we proclaim the good news of the gospel to the whole world. And today we're going to talk about the Christian's quest for God, our desire to be like God, to be closer to God. And I'm just know it's going to be a blessing to you because it's the Word of God. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. We just thank you all for writing. We read every letter. And the first one comes from Lake Wales, Illinois. And this is from a little girl, 10 years old. At age 10, no, this is a different lady. This is a lady that was saved when she was 10. And I've got a little letter a little bit later about a little girl. But this is a lady that was saved when she was 10. She says, at age 10, I did ask Jesus to save me. Since then, I've learned more about things and still am confused about if I really been saved. I've asked the Lord over and over to save me and have asked him to forgive all my sins and come into my life and be Lord, but still have my doubts. Could I really have been saved at 10? But lack the insight to know what really happened to me that day. And so I can talk from experience. I accepted Jesus when I was 10. And so she says, could I really have understood all that was happening? No, we still don't understand all that happened when we're born again. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We become joint heirs with Christ, become a part of the body of Christ. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. That all takes place the minute we ask Jesus into our life. And so we won't know the full reach of our salvation until we stand in glory before the Lord. But there is one thing I want to point out. She said, I've asked the Lord over and over to save me. You ask him to save you once. You can be born again just once. Jesus didn't say you have to be born again and again and again. If you ask Jesus into your heart, he's there. And then you just pray that you submit to him in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here is Duluth, Minnesota. I've backslidden and want to have a new start. I've been suicidal. What happens if you do commit suicide? Do you go to heaven? I want to answer that right now. If you're a Christian and you commit suicide, you will go to heaven. Now, you shouldn't do that because God chooses the time for our death. But if you want it, we have a little booklet on that. Will a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? And the answer is yes. And at the close of the service, I'll tell you how you can get it. Or you can get it on the website, christianworshiphour.com. But she says, will I go to heaven? Then she goes on and says, my family has rejected me. I'm so lonely. I have a dog, but she has been sick. Think that she may be dying. That's why I've been thinking about dying with her. I have no one on earth. I'm homebound. Thank you for reading my letter. Well, this dear lady is there. We get a lot of letters from people that are lonely, and we ought to pray for the people that are old, and sometimes it's young people, but they're all alone, and that loneliness just hits them all the time. And so just remember what Jesus, God tells us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Here's one from Etne, Norway. Dear Brother Harold, I thought you might enjoy some suckers for your birthday. I imported them for years, excuse me, and gave them to my Sunday school school children on special occasions. Maybe you can keep a bouquet on your desk for your visitors. It's probably best to keep this a little secret. Thank you for your tireless work for the Lord. May he bless and keep you in his care. And this is a dear brother in Norway, Etne, Norway. And we've been corresponding for years. And I just seem like I know him. His name is Sten. Can't wait to see him in heaven. One more letter, and that is, this is the little girl that's 10 years old. It's Natoma, Kansas. Hi, how are you? I am good. Thank you for doing the Christian Worship Hour. It saves a lot of souls. I accepted the Lord when I was 3 years old. Me and my family try to watch your service every Sunday. I'm sending a picture that I drew. I'm sending $5 of my birthday money. I just turned 10. You're a blessing, and you're giving blessings. Keep up the good work. And so here's a little girl, accepted the Lord, 3 years old. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted the Lord when she's 5. She's a grandmother now, living for the Lord and loving the Lord. You bet children can accept the Lord. If they can love their parents, they can love Jesus. And we preach so that the children understand and can come to the Lord. And if you haven't accepted the Lord, I just pray that you'll do it during this very service, because we're going to be talking about when Jesus comes again. And when we think about how he's going to return, our desire is to see Christ and to know more about him all the time. St. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3 in verses 10 and 11. He said that I might know him, that is Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And so Paul is telling us here, he has a deep love for the dear Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. That's all. Because when you accept Jesus and you get to know him and read about him in the Bible and walk with him, you will love him. And the longer you walk with him, the more you'll love him. I know that's been in my life. He becomes more real, and I love him more than I've ever loved him before after 86 years of walking with Jesus. And I'm not implying that I lived a perfect life, because I drifted many times. When I came back, he was always there to receive me. So Paul is saying he has a desire to see Christ, to become like Christ. And so he says, first of all, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus. I don't want to know about him. I don't want to read about him. I don't want to have the doctrine about him. I don't want to hear what my folks think about him, my friends think about him. I want to know Jesus Christ personally and intimately. And I want to know him for myself. And that is exactly possible. And it happens when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And if you've never done that and you'd like to know about Jesus and you'd like to meet him personally, what you need to do is just tell him in your own words, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry for my sin. And dear Lord, I just pray that you'll come into my heart and take away my sins and wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. And I'll live for you the best I can," and then thank him. Just use your own words and tell him that. And the Lord Jesus will come into your heart. You'll be born again and you'll have Christ and you'll walk with him. And that's what it means to become a Christian, when we open our hearts to the Lord and we're not thinking about all of these religious elaborate and ornate rites, or the complicated priesthood, or an interest system of doctrine and regulations, endless ceremony and ritual, legalistic workings, and all of the rest of it, all the pomp and circumstance. Above all, we want to do this. We want to just have Jesus. We want to get near to Jesus. We want to know Jesus personally. We want him in our heart and in our life. We want him to be a part of us. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. And that's what we want. And you think that doesn't sound possible. But by the great power of God, when we accept Jesus and ask him into our heart, the Holy Spirit baptizes us by the Holy Spirit. And he baptizes us poor, lost, wicked sinners. And he puts us in the pure, holy, spotless body of Jesus Christ. And we are part of the body of Christ and a part of the family of God. That's what we want. And so we have Jesus. And we have him in our heart. He's not somebody that lives a high up in the clouds, away off somewhere else in heaven, sitting on a throne. He isn't a million miles away, far removed from our infirmities and our longings and our loneliness and our sufferings and our needs and our aches and our pains. He's not somewhere off in the ether clouds or in the heavens, but he is in our heart, dwelling within us. He says in Revelation 3, verse 20, "If a high stand at the door and knock, I'm knocking at your door. I want to come in. If any man open that door, I will come in and I'll dwell with him. I'll dwell in his heart. And I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And I'll be in your heart all the wilderness journey until you get to the gates of heaven. And I'll walk through the pearly gates with you, and you'll be with me forever and ever. That's the gospel. Oh, I love to preach that. And you say, oh, I'm such a terrible sinner. God will have no part with me. I'm going to tell you a little secret. St. Paul was a man who had committed a lot of sins, and he sinned against God, and he sinned against the church, and I sinned against the Christians. And he said that he was saved. And he says that God saved me. I'm the chief of sinners. And if he can save our chief, he can save all of us. He loves you and he wants you to come to him and become his child. But if you refuse, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's all you can look forward to. After death, it's all settled, and you're with God or you're with the devil. And you make the choice. And so we need Jesus. We need his closeness. We need his love. We need his tenderness. We need his sympathy. We need his direction. We need his guidance. We just need to talk to him and have him been up with us. Oh my, I just hope that every one of you all over the world, wherever you are, out the desert, in the jungles, in the cities, I don't care, and some of these cities are worse than the jungles, I do believe, and you just ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's all you do. Children can do it. I did it, and I can remember it as if it was yesterday, 86 years ago, and it's as clear as a bell. I didn't see lights, and I didn't hear voices, and I didn't get goose pimples or anything else. I just made a transaction with Jesus. He says, if you call on my name, I'll save you. If you open the door, I'll come into your life. And I opened the door, and he came into my life. That's it. And I had a peace that passes all understanding. So this wonderful Savior, the first thing Paul is telling us, the first thing I want to do is I want to know Jesus. I want to get closer to Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And then he goes on and he says that he would also know the power of the resurrection. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power of the resurrection. This resurrection, Jesus Christ has all power. And he says, I have the keys of death and the unseen world, death and the unseen world. He was dead and he is alive after 3 days. And he's the founder of our great, wonderful faith. And he is the only one who's founded his faith that's alive of any time at all. Most of them are in the grave. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he was raised by the power of God. And that's called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ has that power of the resurrection is imparted to us. And we live in that power. So we have strength to overcome temptation. We have strength to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord and witness for Jesus and plan. He has a plan for your life, and we can follow that plan. So Paul says he seeks to have the power of the resurrection. And so the soul united with Christ cannot be held by sin and death. He lives a new life on a higher plane. We breathe a new atmosphere when we receive Jesus Christ. We live in a new world. We have higher inspirations and thoughts. We are emancipated. We're set free. Jesus is risen, and so we are risen also. And life that he wanted to live, and he prayed to live. Paul said, I just am praying that I'll have the power of the resurrection. And having that power of the resurrection, oh, he can serve Christ and do things for the Lord. And you know something? Most of the New Testament was written by St. Paul. That man who persecuted the Christians, who put them in prison, who caused them to blaspheme, and who stood at the feet of and watched the crowds as they stoned young Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church. He consented to them. He watched their clothes while they stoned him to death. That evil-hearted man, ungodly a man, came to know Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was transformed and became a great saint of God. And he had the power of the resurrection, and he's praying that we'll have the same thing. So now he goes on to the third thing. Now look at what it is. First thing he says, he just wants to seek the risen Christ. I just want to know him. I just want to be able to talk to him at any minute. I want him as close as my breath. I want it so that when something comes in my life, something that just startles me and I'm not ready, I know exactly without even thinking. I just turn to Jesus and I talk to him and he dwells within me. I have that now. And then Paul says, and I also have the power of the resurrection. I have that resurrected Christ with all power in my life, and I have that great power of the resurrection. And so now, what does he say? He says, I want to seek the fellowship, listen to me, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Look at that. He's wanting to suffer for Christ. He wants to be a part of the persecuted church if needs be. He wants to stand for Jesus as long as he stands, and he'll never give up, and though it cost him his life. And we have those wonderful Christian people, part of the family of God. We pray for one every week. We pray for one of them. And we're going to pray for those in North Korea today, because in our closing prayer, we're going to pray for North Korea, because of all the places on earth to live, the persecution is the worst in North Korea. And that's given to us by Open Door Missions. And they make a study and they have a list of the 50 of these places where Christians are suffering. If you want that list, you write to us. I'll give you the address at the close of the service. Send it free and postpaid. But this, Paul is saying, I want to know Jesus and I want the power of Christ as I'm seeing for. Now I want to suffer for Christ. And I will want to serve him. And I'm going to tell you, when you become a Christian and you find the power of Jesus Christ, you'll never find a Christian that fusses when things go tough. You know, some people, they get all upset when I preach about giving a tithe to the Lord. A tithe is 10%. When in the New Testament, and Jesus said that you should give the tithe. You should be just and loving and kind, but you should give the 10% to the work of the Lord. That's what Jesus is telling us. It's the Old Testament and New Testament. So when I say that, some of these people get scared to death, and they grab first and follow their pocketbook, and the other hand, they grab their heart, and they think they're going to die. He's going to take my money. I don't want your money. We just want you to give money to carry on the work of the Lord. That's all we want. We're not for our pocket. And as a matter of fact, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And when you send one penny, it's audited, and every penny's accounted for and receipted, and every penny's played just according to our budget. And it all goes for the proclamation of the gospel. Now, you never find these people that if they're a real Christian, if they have the Christ living in them and the power of the resurrection, when I preach about giving 10%, they'll preach it, preacher. Preach it, pastor. Amen. You betcha. Give more. Give. Paul says we ought to give as the Lord prospers us. And so we give 10%, but if he's prospered us real good, we ought to give more. 1 Corinthians 16. So you can just look it up if you want to. And so with this wonderful Jesus, I have heard people say sometimes, oh, I'm their deathbed. I wished I would have done more for Jesus when I was alive. I wished I would have served him better. I wished I would have done this, and I wish I would have done that. I have never in 73 years, and I've seen a lot of people depart from this earth, and I held their hand. I've been with them as they've gone. I have never had one of those dear Christian brothers or sisters ever say, I wished I wouldn't have given so much to the cause of Christ. I wished I wouldn't have given so much of my time reading the Bible and praying. I have never heard it once. And that's what Paul is saying. He wants to suffer for Christ. He wants to be in that place where he has to give his life to Christ, and where he will just die for him if needs be. And that's why every Sunday, every weekend, because our service is sometimes on Saturday and maybe Friday. I don't know when it is, but it's sometime. But whenever it is, we always pray for the persecuted church and our brothers and sisters, because they are a part of the family. It's the family of God. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray for them and we love them and we do it gladly. And we say, if it comes to me, oh, then I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to suffer for the Lord. Listen to St. Paul in Philippians 1, verses 29 and 30. He says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You don't want to just get saved. You want to serve. And maybe that service will be suffering, and I'm ready to go gladly. And so then he says, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. That is, you'll be ready to go, be ready to suffer. And I know that our telecast and our shortwave, we have a very strong tower. It reaches into North Korea, a shortwave radio. And we're encouraging those people, and we want them to know that we here in America and all around the world, wherever you're listening to this, if you're a believer, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in North Korea and then in other parts of the world, giving their life. We are proud to be a blessing of that. And so then he says, I want to just to make the best of my life. And then he goes on and he closes. He says that he wants to speak. Be just to realize that this Jesus is with him and will never leave him or forsake him, and that this Jesus has all power and might. For instance, Jesus says, I'm the first and the last and the living one. And he speaks of life eternal. It is perennial. It is a divine. He says, I became dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He says, always look at that in that way. Suffering for Jesus is not some awful thing cast upon us. It's a beautiful, high privilege to suffer for Jesus. And he suffered for us, didn't he? He went to the old rugged cross and shed his blood for our sins. And you know what we're told in Hebrews? We're told that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Jesus was happy to go to the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins and my sins. He rejoiced, who for the joy that was set before him endured all of the suffering and shame and died on the cross. That's the way I want to live. And I know that's the way you want to live if you're a Christian. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's the most biggest nonsense in the world. But if you ever ask Jesus into your heart, and he'll come into your heart and your whole life will change and you become a new creation in Christ. And I'm not saying maybe some of you have feelings of joy and all that. I didn't have that. I just took it as a contract. And Jesus says, if you ask me in your heart, I'll come in and I'll save you from your sins. And then I've got a plan for your life. And your plan is going to be, I didn't know how long I would live when I accepted Jesus. I was 10 years old. I didn't know if I'd live to be 20. 21 was a big thing in my day. And you had to be 21 years old to vote. And oh, did we ever like that. And when we got to vote, we didn't know who to vote for. But we got to vote anyway. But God, that's been all those years. I didn't know how long I'd live. Maybe 21, 96, 96. But I know this. All of my life I'm going to give to Jesus. And that doesn't mean I've been perfect. I don't want to give any ideas to you that I've lived a perfect life, because we're all poor old lost sinners saved by grace, and we sin all the time. And I pray every night to God to forgive you for my sins. Not that so I won't go to hell. That's all settled. I'm going to heaven. But I pray so my fellowship with the Father is open. And if you wrong somebody, you go and make it right with them. And you talk with Jesus and you love Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. And that was his desire, to be like Christ, to have more Christ, to love him and to serve him. And so we're just praying today that as we bring this good news of the gospel, that you'll open your heart to Jesus. And you just don't make anything hard about it. Just in your own way, in your own words, just tell him the effect that, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Oh God, I've sinned against you. And I ask, and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart, dear Jesus, and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best way I can. And Jesus, I won't be perfect. But God knows I won't be perfect. But he tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll make you white as snow when you ask me into your heart. You just pray that. And then if you pray that, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. and you write to us, and we'll send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. If you have an email, we'll send an email. Otherwise, we'll send a snail mail. And either way, you'll get it. So you'll be sure to write to us. And those of you on a short wave, I want to give it again, because all TV people got it on the screen. But you have to write it down. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, if you want that little booklet on losing your salvation, or if you want the other little booklet on suicide, go to heaven, you write to us, and it's a little booklet. And if you can send a gift with a request, all right. If you don't have any money, like some are on Social Security, we hear from people in prison, they don't have any money to send, we'll send it free and postpaid, and somebody else will help us pick up the bill. But we'll write to you, and we're glad to do that. And then one more thing I want to mention. We have a little Bible study every week, and it's called The New Song. New Song. It's free and postpaid. It's a Bible study. And this month, during this month, we're going to talk about God's great harvest and how you can be a part in God's great harvest. So you write to us, Box 2002 and Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the internet, and you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can even donate gifts over that. We have to have your help, so we're counting on God's people to do it. So now I want to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time we've had together. We thank you for the multitudes of people that are making that prayer right now. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord, and take away my sins. And there are some that's drifted away, Lord, and they're coming back today, and you're taking them back. There are children watching today, and in their own childish way, they'll just say, Jesus, just come into my heart. I want to be your child. And he'll come into your heart, and he will never leave you, and I'll see you in heaven, and won't that be something? So, dear Lord, we pray for those in North Korea, too, our church there, the church people there, our Christian people, and encourage them and help them to know we love them and are praying for them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking for that letter. You know, we don't have any source of income except God's people. We all owe almost 40 years now, and we've never been behind. We've always paid our bills. And so we just go until the Lord says stop. And he tells us stop, I won't send any money. And then we'll stop fast. And what we'll probably do is go fishing or something. I don't know what we'll do. We're not making plans. We're just going to go on until Jesus comes again. So God bless you, and we'll see you next weekend. God loves you. We love you. And we'll see you when we talk about this wonderful Lord.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.